You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Thursday, the 28th of November, 2024. I'm feeling quite hyped. I don't know why. I think it's my sleep patterns in my office. I'm sleeping in my office because I'm having a house renovated. But it's okay. It's not too bad. Me and the dog, Lola, my little cockapoo. UHY Hacker Young, an accountancy company, says 92 companies, that's 92, have delisted and only 10 floated on the junior market this year. That's AIM, the alternative investment market. In fact, three more companies have announced this week they're intending to delist from AIM. This has reduced the total number of companies on AIM to 692, its smallest size in 23 years. Many people are saying, AIM's dead, AIM's gone, that's it, pack it up, no point carrying on. I don't think that at all. If you look at the companies delisting, okay, they're pretty much all either subscale, they can't scale, they're too small, or they're making huge amount of losses and they need lots of cash to keep going. So they are milking investors. And if you look at the charts of these companies, their performance have been abysmal. They're not creating wealth. They're not creating a return on your investment. And they haven't for many, many years. I understand the AIM market is there for companies to raise capital, to grow and to scale. Most of these companies can't, and they never will be commercial. So I think this is a positive, because imagine this. Imagine you're a restaurant, right? And you buy, I don't know, a barrel load of apples every day, right? And you've got two suppliers. And the one supplier gives you a barrel full of apples. The other one gives you three quarters of a barrel full of apples for the same price. Which one are you going to buy? Exactly, the barrel full of apples, because it's full. The other one is only three quarters full. But then every day, you say, take a contract out with this company supplying a barrel full of apples. And every day you look in the barrel, the bottom of the barrel, a quarter of it is rotten apples. And they are contaminating the good apples. The other company, who can only supply three quarters, handpick them. They're all good apples. They're all healthy, excellent apples. Now, which one are you going to go with? You're going to go with the company hiding the dirty, rotten apples at the bottom of the barrel that's contaminating the others? Or are you going to go with the honest company, who's to say, we can only supply about three quarters of a barrel, but they're all good. They're all hand-selected, ripe, juicy apples, ready to eat. And there's nothing in there that'll contaminate others. That's the AIM market. The AIM indices has underperformed massively. We are like 1,200 days from the peak of AIM. We're in a bear market for 3 years. Now, the index is being dragged down by substandard, subscale companies that are highly cash-burning, never have any line of sight to profitability or giving a genuine return on investment for investors. I'm not talking about share prices just popping and dropping. I'm talking about the fundamentals of a company generating cash and returns for investors. Think of it as a business, not a listed company. When you put money into a business, right, you invest for them to start generating growth in revenue and profits. Those profits are shared amongst the shareholders. That's proper value generation. The companies delisting on AIM have not generated any value at all, and they're dragging the whole industries down and the reputation of AIM. And trouble is, these companies make the loudest noise, because of course when people lose money, they shout about it. They say, crap, there's a lot of good businesses on AIM. I'm invested in a few of them. They're very good, they're growing, they're generating cash. Those are the ones that need to stay. I mean, to get rid of the trash, the rotten apples, they're contaminating all of AIM. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. By the way, this is I cover sort of macro news relevant to the UK and monitor microcap stocks to see if they're good enough to be added to the microcap league. And do you know what? There's only 37 companies on the microcap league. There's 695 companies on AIM. Now, I do filter for size, so they've got to be sub 100 million market cap, they've got to be revenue generating, they've got to be profitable. There's only 37 companies on there. That shows you it's unusual to be a good business. Of course it is. The average business, by definition, is not that good. So on this list, the Microcap League, are higher quality companies that will hopefully give you a better return. So I look at, I've analysed hundreds of companies on AIM, okay? And every one of them, I score them in relation to their growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, and potential. The companies that score the highest are added to the microcap league, and they are businesses with the best risk-reward profile. Many, many companies will never, ever make it onto the microcap league. And so the AIM market is, you know, very stock selective. You've got to be very selective on AIM because there's a lot of crap on there, a lot of rotten apples. But anyway, and by the way, my book is out on Tuesday. And I talk about companies and I talk about how I've changed my strategy with the market and realise where the true gems are, where they lie. Let's have a look at the markets. By the sharepickers.com and click on the book. By the way, if you buy the book, there's a bit of an incentive. In fact, it's a huge incentive. But sharepickers.com, and then click on the book at the top there. It's like I say, publishing on Tuesday. Up until that date, there's 23% off at Amazon for the paperback. After that date, that discount will be removed. Okay, let's have a look at the markets here. FTSE 100 is up. Well, it's not. It's flat again. 8,278. It's bounced off recent lows. Recent lows were on the 13th of November. It hit sort of 8,000, hit that and bounced off it, and now it's at 8,278. FTSE 250 up 0.7%. Oh, it's trying to beat some recent highs here at 20,765. FTSE small cap flat at 6,809. By the way, sorry, a bit of windy pops there. These are all now back above the 200-day moving average, which is very good. Apart from the AIM All share, which is way below it. The 200-day moving average is 757, and we're currently at 732 today. It's flat, exactly flat. Hasn't gone up or down. But I'm reckoning if we get above 740, we could see a rally happening. Let's have a look at some, Bitcoin is did rally yesterday, but it's coming off a little bit today. 0.6% down to $95,369. Brent crude, it's pretty much flat at 73 0.16 cents dollars a barrel. What else we've got here? Gold, it's up a little bit, 2,668 at 0.14%. Did I mention? Yeah, I mentioned that. Let's look at the 10-year yield for government bonds. It's rolling over a bit. Recent highs were 4.6% yield on the 10-year government bond. It's now down to 4.3, and that was the high was pretty much recent high was 6th of November, and now it's down to 4.3. So nice to see that rolling over. Let's have a quick look at the currency here. Just America versus the cable, you know, pound versus dollar. Like I said, it was at a high of $1.34 on the 26th of September. It's now down to $1.26. So it's come off. Dollar strength happening since Trump has been coming to power. Let's look at some macro news. Story number one. UK service sector sentiment falls at the fastest pace in 2 years, the CBI says. British sentiment in Britain's services sector is falling at the fastest rate in 2 years. See, Rachel Reeves, Keir Starmer, look what you've done. Talking down. They've talked down. Do you know, I can't believe what they did. I still can't believe it. They talked down the economy. And like I said, if you are the CEO of a listed company, you come out with a very gloomy statement. People will sell your shares. If you're the CEO of UK PLC, which Keir Starmer is, and the CFO is Rachel Reeves, and you talk down the British economy, investors are not going to invest. And then you, while they're on the floor, you knee them in the face then. You kick them in the balls, knee them in the face while on the floor with a budget. That's what's happened. They say partly as a result of tax rises, Finance Minister Rachel Reeves' first budget on the 30th of October. Anyway, the downturn was sharpest in consumer services, where large employers will bear the brunt of a £25 billion rise in payroll taxes, but the mood at businesses and professional services companies soured too. Thursday's survey showed that optimism among consumer services businesses sank to its lowest since August 2022 at minus 55 in November, down from minus 19 in August, while among business and professional services, sentiment fell to minus 29 from plus 9. The index represents the difference between the percentages of businesses which say they are more optimistic and those who are more pessimistic. Business and professional services firms said their profitability had fallen by the most since August 2020, and all types of service firms said they would invest less. That's awful, isn't it? Really is dreadful. British business investment is low by international standards, and this is widely seen as one of the causes of Britain's lower economic productivity than its major peers. So I don't know how they're going to change this. And they literally are sticking to their guns as well. I watched Prime Minister's Question Time, and I hate that. What I did like, actually, I don't know who it was the business secretary, I think it was, responding to fallout from the car producers, manufacturers, about these targets, you know, for battery EV cars. And he said, we'll probably have to revisit it. That's what I want. Listen to business, please. Listen to business. Rather than Keir Starmer just standing up saying, we're fixing the foundations, we're putting more money in people's pockets. No, you won't. You're not doing that. There's going to be less people employed. There's going to be less pay increases now. Businesses can't afford. I don't know if you've seen recently, was it Halfords and Pets at Home? It's going to cost Pets at Home 18 million. That's 17% of their profit. Now, they tanked yesterday because of that. So what's that? What, you know, how are they going to recoup that? They'll do it by automating, get rid of humans and having less pay increases. Simple as that. They probably sell some stores. More unemployment. That's a huge knock. 17% on profit. Ridiculous. Story number two. UK electric car output drops with firms under pressure. UK car production fell sharply in October amid industry concerns about intense pressure on investment in electric vehicle making. Output of all cars dropped by more than 14,000 vehicles from a year earlier, mainly due to a fall in exports following weak demand, the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders said. Production of electric and hybrid vehicles declined by a third compared with last year due to flagging European demand and the retooling of factories for new models. Mike Hawes of the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders said, these are deeply concerning times for the automotive industry, with massive investments in plants and new zero-emission products under intense pressure. Globally, demand for EVs is slowed, he said, while in the UK, manufacturers have to contend with the toughest targets and most accelerated timeline, without the incentives necessary for customers to drive demand. Although production of EVs fell in October, sales of electric cars in the UK have been increasing. In October, they made up one in every five cars registered, although industry sources insist this is largely down to unsustainable discounting. This is where the government could step in and say, OK, we are going to incentivise people to buy EVs. That would boost production. That would mean, you know, factories then would have demand. They'd have to take on people. Those people would have more to spend in the economy. They'd pay more tax. This is what I mean by enabling business. That's the way around you do it. You enable growth and you collect more taxes. There's more people spending in the economy. It's a virtuous circle. You can't tax first and then find your way to growth. You have to get growth and you get more tax. Not tax and then growth. Doesn't happen that way. And I can't believe how brain dead, how tone deaf they are on this. Story number three. UK house prices become slightly more affordable in 2024, Halifax says. Buying a new home in Britain become a little more affordable this year. A little more affordable. As average wages rose faster than house prices and mortgage costs, the country's largest mortgage lender said. Halifax, part of Lloyds Banking Group, said the average house in the third quarter of 2024 cost 6.55 times the mean annual full-time income, down from 6.62. So it's gone down to 6.55, down from 6.62 in 2023, and a record of 7.24 in mid-2022. The cost of servicing a new mortgage dropped its lowest in just over 2 years at 29% of average income, down from 33% a year ago based on a mortgage with a 30-year term, a fixed five-year interest rate, and a 25% deposit. It's a chunky deposit, isn't it? The Bank of England raised interest rates to a 15-year high of 5.25% in August 2023 and started to cut them in August this year, followed by a further reduction, 4.75. So this is an economist poll by Reuters last week, expect the Bank of England to cut rates to 3.75% by the end of next year, while they predicted house prices would rise by 3.1% next year and 4% in 2026. The average house price in the third quarter is £292,508. They've got to reduce interest rates. That's the only thing that was stimulating, you know, the hope for the markets pretty much was interest rate reduction. And what paid to that? The bloody budget. Well, of course, we're going to have less growth, higher prices. That's stagflation, pretty much. And unemployment going up. Stagflation. It's a budget of stagflation. And so until that budget came out, it looks like we're on a smooth path to interest rate reduction. Now we're not. Well done, Labour government. Okay, some micro news. These are small cap companies. I'm looking to add companies to the micro cap league. It's a high bar. They've got to have growth, good value. We'll look for growth first. They've got growth on revenue and profit and cash, then we're on to a winner. So Crichton's PLC, which is annoying, they never ever... If anyone's listening from Crichton's, please put a description of your business in your report. I've had to go to your website and think, why is it so arrogant to think that people know what you do? I analyse companies every day. I didn't know what you do. Anyway, it's the parent company, CRL is the ticker, is the parent company of a group involved in creating the finest quality personal care and beauty products. From concept to consumer, we lead the way, they say. Now, so they've got a market cap of 26 million. This is, half, I've got so confused. This is half year, I think. interim results. Let me just quite quickly check. CRL. Interim results. Yeah, half year report. Yeah, financial report there. To the 30th of September. So revenue, looking for growth. 27 million versus 27.55. Ooh, it's dipped a little bit. Profit before tax, 1.68 million versus 302k. Hey, tick there. Cash and equivalents of 2.25 million versus 1.68. That's growth in cash. But they do have net debt. So they've got more debt than cash. But that debt is coming down. So net debt for the group has reduced to 1.2 million versus 5.5. So they've brought that down quite nicely. I don't think there's any forecasts here for Crichton's. I did check recently. Let me just check again. Broker forecasts. I did check the other day, I think, which was a reason why I haven't looked at them further, because, no, they're not. There's no forecast there. Okay, next. But, you know, that's of interest there. And I think, I don't want to spoil in anticipation here, but I think that's probably the best here today so far. Next, Eco Animal Health, EAH, a rapidly growing global animal health company with a portfolio of marketed veterinary products and a maturing proprietary R&D pipeline, today announces half-year report till the 30th of September. They say in line with guidance. Market cap of 44 million. By the way, where's Crichton's today? Crichton's is down 13%. It did rise the other day quite strongly. So in fact, it's risen from the low back in July. It hit sort of 16 pence. It's now 34 pence, but it did hit 40 pence. Why do I keep yawning when I talk? I feel like it's early signs of dementia or something. Or something like that, or Parkinson's, you know. I don't worry. Anyway, they're up. So 44 million market cap is Eco Animal Health. Revenue for the 6 months, 33.18 million versus 38. Down. Loss before tax, 1.41 million versus 628K. So the loss has gone up as well. Cash and equivalents, 18.29 million versus 20.57. So every metric's down there, but like they don't have debt and they have a nice bit of cash. Now, the forecasts here, revenue-wise, they're looking at 84.3 million for 2025, which is March, of course, versus 89.4, so it's dropped. They must have a strong second half because they've only done 33.18 in the first half. So pre-tax profit adjusted, they go for 4 million here. That's adjusted, considering they've done a half-year loss on reported statutory of 1.4. It's hard to see what the actual figure is, comes out in the wash. But and they're looking to get a bit more growth in 2026. So we'll see. But yeah, not convinced. Pipehawk, PIP is ticker, operates in dynamic businesses offering advanced engineering solutions to the challenging technical requirements across many industries. Release final results for the year. This is a market cap of 417. To me, this needs to delist. But having said that, they probably can't fund their debt. In July 2024, QM Systems, a subsidiary of the group, entered administration. So they say turnover of 9.1 million versus 6.5. Excluding QM Systems, the group's turnover for the financial year was 2.9 million. Loss before tax was 821K versus 3.2 million. Excluding QM Systems, the group loss was 270,000. So they're cautiously saying, we are cautiously projecting a return to operating profitability in the current financial year, ending the 30th of June. Yeah. Like I said, revenue of 9.1 million versus 6.4, loss before tax of 1.6 versus 3.2, cash of 95K versus 140K, debt 6.7 million. I don't see how you can service that debt, to be honest. So I knew people were jumping into that, but that balance sheet is not very good. Again, they've been a subscale business for a long time, and I don't think they can scale. And if you look at the chart again, it's, you know, if you go back to the height of March 2022, 36 pence a share, now 1.11 pence. they're going to have a hard time servicing that debt. Avoid. You may have some spikes, but it's going to pop and drop. Next, E-Energy, a leading digital energy services provider, has secured a $975K contract with Newcastle College Group to deliver a full LED lighting conversion across 10 buildings in Newcastle and Carlisle. Market cap of $18 million. I don't know what's happened to the cash. They sold half their business and they had like about $18 million of net cash, I think. It seems to have disappeared or been used. I don't know where it's been used. So the forecasts here are for sales of 25 million versus 45.6. Of course, they have sold that one half the business. And they're saying adjusted profit before tax for 24 of minus one, or a loss before tax of 1.2 million. But in 2025, they are expecting growth. Revenue is expected to go up to 31.5 and adjusted profit before tax of 2.2 million. But net cash debt. Net cash of $4 million for the end of the year. I'm sure they had a lot more than that when they sold that company. I don't know what's happened there. We're at E-Energy today. They are up 9.68 pence to 5.1 pence. Animal Healthcare, by the way, up to 11%. EAH to 72.8 pence. And finally, another one delisting. Another one bites dust. Scholium Group. They're engaged in the business of rare books and modern prints. Its primary operating subsidiary is Shapiro Rare Books, one of the leading UK dealers trading internationally in rare and antiquarian books. Oh, whatever. 6 months, 30th of December, revenue 4.97 versus 3.83, that's plus 30%. Profit before tax of 167K versus 43K, cash of 4K. Like I said, that is, you know, for a listed company, it's not worth them being listed. The costs. They've got debt of close to £600,000. So, yeah. They've announced they're going to cancel admission on AIM. They said the board estimates the group could, by cancelling the admission, reduce its overheads by at least 75K per annum in respect primarily of professional advisor fees, stock exchange related expenses, and other costs associated with running a quoted company. This reduction would have increased profit before taxation for the year by 25%. So you're talking about an extra, 50K? Pretty much. That, I mean, you're not big enough to be listed, are you really? They say, in addition, over the last 30 months, the mid price of each ordinary share has not exceeded 45 pence, which represents a significant discount at net asset value per share. But as a private business, it would be fine. You have less people involved in that business. And, the shareholders then would be, the owners would be taking a bit more profit. So I believe they should do that. That's the problem. Companies are listed. In a bull market, it's fine. In a bear market, of course, it's hard work. And I think that's the best option for them. I mean, they are down. If you're a shareholder of those, they are down by 16% a day, down to 30 pence. And again, another stock, if you look back at the share price, we go back to 2014 when it was listed, it's £1 a share, and now it's at 30 pence a share. So not as bad as other companies, but nevertheless, it's not performed, is it? But if you remove all these companies from AIM, the index itself would become better, Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. Did I mention my book is out? 5 more days left of 23% discount. How to become a microcap millionaire, 3-step strategy for stock market success. And by all means, if you can order that, like I said, if you do, there's an added benefit. Okay, I won't reveal it yet, but I will next week. Sharepickers.com and just click on the book. You can read the added benefit there. Thanks a lot. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.